just an old book for old times. We believe it is relevant and applicable to our lives today. So if you have a Bible with us this morning, would you open up with me to Exodus chapter 18? We're going Old Testament this morning, and we believe that God has something to say to us from His Word. So Exodus chapter 18, we're going to be reading from there today. I'm going to just read through this passage of Scripture that we're going to be jumping into this morning, and then we're going to jump into our Word to hear what God has to say to us today. So Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 and on to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and you can read from whatever translation you are most comfortable with. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 to 27. And we read that in the next day, so what's the next day? First of all, this is after, yes, lights. Oh, may we turn the lights on, please? Thank you, Ken. Exodus chapter 18. So this is the next day. What's the next day? This is the next day after Egypt, or Israelites have been delivered from Egypt. They've been in the wilderness for just a couple of days now. They've just gotten out of slavery, and now they're in the desert. They're with Moses. And so here they are. So the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other, and they waited before him from morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked them, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning until evening?" And Moses replied, "Well, because the people, they come to me to get a ruling from God. And when a dispute arises, they come to me. And I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. So, you know, I inform the people of God's decrees and I give them His instructions." And Moses' father-in-law exclaimed, "This is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and all the people with you as well. This job is too heavy of a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now, listen to me, my son-in-law, and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes before Him, but teach them God's decrees and give them His instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But also select from the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 100, over 1,000, over 100, 50, and of 10. And they should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. But have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. And if you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all of these people will go home in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law Jethro's advice and followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel, and he appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,000, 100, of 50, and of 10. These men were always available to solve the common people's disputes. They brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. Soon after this, Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law, who returned to his own land. The title of my message this morning is Fives, Tens, and Twenties. And we'll understand what that means in just a moment here today. But let's pray as we turn to the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to speak to us from your Word. Thank you, Father, that you've given to us, Lord, not just as an instructional manual, God, but, Father, as something that can change and transform our lives from the inside out. And, Lord, we ask this morning to give us your eyes to see what you want us to see, to give us your ears to hear what you want us to hear, and, Lord, to give us a heart so that we may receive it. God, I confess now that I need you, and, God, I invite you to come and speak through my words. Holy Spirit, be here with us. And, Lord, use this to change and transform people's lives. May this be helpful to somebody here today. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. I got a question for you this morning. What if God wanted to use you to be a difference maker this year? This last week, Alandra got to go to a little course at Truro Elementary School. She's been working as an educational assistant this last year, and so she got an opportunity to sign up for this course. Learning how to do a couple different things in the schoolroom, it had to do mostly with classroom discussions and how to shape and frame classroom discussions in a way that is most helpful for students to help them kind of, you know, engage on a meaningful level in different ways. And I remember back in my school days, you know, there were school projects that we did. How many did school projects? Remember those? You know, you get into groups. Do you guys remember the two types of people in those school projects? I think you know what I'm talking about, right? Do you know those two types of people? There was the workers. Who was a worker here? Anybody was a worker in our group? Yeah, we got some diligent people in the room. All right, now the other people. Who are the slackers? Come on. The freeloaders? Amen? Anybody? Anybody willing to admit with me? I know it's a bit, thank you, Margaret. I see that hand. We'll pray for you after the service. That's all right. That's all right. You know, you got the people there. You do the people that do the work, you know, and they're really diligent. And then there's the people that kind of, you know, they're along for the ride, and you know, they kind of do the work themselves. And I think, you know, when it comes to working on these different things and school projects and sharing the workload together, you know, I think we all understand the principle of let's share the load. You ever heard the saying, "Many hands make light work"? You know, it's classic, traditional. We all understand that. And it's not reasonable to expect just one or two people to do all of the heavy lifting alone. And I think we get this truth. I think we understand this. But, you know, I think when it comes to church and helping to see our church grow and reach people far from God, to be an effective source of life change in this community, I think sometimes we can tend to rely a little bit too much on the professionals. I mean, let me show you what I mean. You know, there's been this major change in society that's taken place over the last 50 years. You see, in the old days, if your pipes broke, you call your neighbor. And you say, "Come over, help me fix my pipes." Today, your pipes broke, you call a plumber, right? Come on. Okay, let's do another one. In the old days, your car breaks down, and you know, and you're not sure what to do, so you call your dad, because your dad knows how to fix your car, and he comes over and he fixes your car for you. New days, your car breaks down, you immediately get a tow truck, and you take it to the mechanic, and they fix it for you, right? Professional fixes it. Good. In the old days, you're sick, you call your mom, and she gives you a good chicken soup recipe. She tells you to put a hot cloth in your forehead or something like that, some homespun recipe. Today, you Google your symptoms, and you find out that you're dying. You see, we rely on professionals so much to make sure these things happen in our lives. It's been this giant shift in the last few years. And you know, if we're not careful, we can let this professionalism seep into church life as well. You know, I need a touch from God, so I really hope the worship leader plays my favorite song this week. You know, our kids, worship, youth connections, whatever ministry needs more growth and stuff, we better hire a new pastor. You know, well, you know, we want to grow in our faith, you know, so the pastor had better preach a good message this week. I hope he preaches something good. And so we go to the professionals to do the work for us, but there's a problem with this way of thinking. And I think it's a problem that many of us have experienced ourselves. We've even experienced it in this province. How many here have a family doctor? I want to just by show of hands. You have a family doctor already? Cool. So just this last, most of us here, that's pretty good. In the last little while, Landry and I, being new to the province, we had to get on the wait list for a family doctor. And there's a 2-year wait right now to get on to see a family doctor. So we were back and forth with primary care physicians and to the emergency room and to the clinics for the last little while in order to get a family doctor, because we had to wait for this incredibly long time. And there's times when I was sick and I actually had a 2-month wait to get in to see my doctor because I couldn't get in time. So by the time I finally got in to see them, I'd already been to the emergency room to sit for 4 hours to just get a prescription for my sore throat. Seems kind of ridiculous, right? Because there's so few professionals in the province to actually meet the need. There's this giant backlog of people. Now, am I advocating for unlicensed doctors to go around and start writing prescriptions? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But you can feel the tension, because there's only a few professionals to do the work, then there's going to be a lot of sick and dying people who are going to get missed. There's going to be a lot of sick and dying people that will not find their healing because we're funneling all the work through just a few professionals. And when we come to expect in church life the same, reaching people far from God, when we come to expect the pastors to do all of the ministry, when we come to expect pastors and church leaders to reach them, sick and dying people might never meet the healer because we were too afraid to step up. And that means people close to us who are hurting, close to us who need a Savior, might never find Jesus for themselves because they got stuck in the backlog of people. You see, your kids might not develop those solid relationships and friendships they need to get through high school because their families didn't feel welcome here at the church. You know, your coworkers suffering through depression, they might not find the hope and the light of Jesus for themselves because we were too afraid to pray. You know what? Your family maybe doesn't come to know Jesus for themselves because, you know, they never saw the light of Christ through you in your life, in your home, and in your workplace. because we're waiting for professionals to do the ministry for us. But what if God was calling you to be a difference maker this year? What if God wanted to use you to bring the hope and the light of Jesus to that one person in your life, right where you are? We talk about that one often at Cornerstone. That one is simply this. That one is that person close to you, but far from God. And everybody's got one. Close to you, but far from God. That's your one. That's that person in your life. What if God wanted you to be that one, the difference maker, this year? Because here's the truth that you and I need to understand this morning. God wants to choose you. God has chosen you to be a difference maker this year, right where you are. God wants to do something in and through this church to touch and transform this community with the power and the presence of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe He's also going to use normal, everyday, average people to do it right where you are. That's how this is going to work. But you see, Moses missed this early on in his ministry. Early on in Moses' ministry, Moses missed the fact that God calls normal, everyday people to be difference makers right where they are. You see, early on in Moses' ministry, he finds himself overwhelmed by the tasks of daily life. He finds himself overwhelmed by all the things coming and going. People are having to come to him. And not long after leaving Egypt, not days after crossing the Red Sea, Moses finds that all of the work has somehow managed to be funneled through him and him alone. Check it out. Verse 13 in this passage we read this morning in Exodus chapter 18. We just see a small picture of what that first looked like. Verse chapter 13, we see that the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. And they waited before him from morning until evening. Can you just imagine that for a moment? I've got a hard enough time waiting for 5 minutes at Tim Hortons. I can't imagine waiting all day just to talk with Moses about my little issue, right? It's crazy. I mean, just spending all that time. But this is all the people have ever known. This is all Moses has ever known. So, you know, Moses is the professional after all. We've got to go through him. So they just keep going on with the status quo. But we read on in verse 14. Now, when Moses' father-in-law, now Jethro, and we're going to be talking about Jethro a lot in this section, that's the guy. When Moses' father-in-law Jethro saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked him, "What are you really accomplishing here? I mean, why are you trying to do this all alone? And while everyone else stands around you from morning until evening, I mean, what are you trying to do here, man? Really, what are you realistically hoping to accomplish? Because this line is getting ridiculous. You see the people standing around you all day long. Why are you doing this?" And Moses' reply in verse 15 is very interesting. Moses' reply, he says, "Look, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. And when a dispute arises, they come to me. And I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. And I inform the people of God's decrees. And I give them His instructions. Because who else could possibly do this except for me? I'm the guy, after all." But do you notice how me-centered Moses' response is? You see, there it is. The people come to me. They come to me. I am the one. And I inform. This is the Moses show over here. This isn't actually about God's justice or God's decrees. This is about Moses' ego. He's got some personality problems here. And Jethro sees it, and he calls it out for what it is. It's probably one of the greatest understatements in the whole Old Testament. Check it out. Verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good." Some solid advice right there. Some pretty solid advice. And Moses needed to hear it in this moment. Just like some of us need to hear some advice here today. You know, some of us need to allow somebody to come in with an outside opinion, an outside perspective into your life to give you a fresh perspective. Because you see, we get stuck in these ruts where we just are tunnel vision in on the only way we know how to do things and the only way we know anything's ever been done. When in reality, if we would step back and allow somebody else that we know and that we trust to speak into our life, we might be able to see our situation from a fresh perspective. And then we might be able to actually understand the ways that God is moving and working in and through our lives. But we don't see it. We don't see a better way because maybe we don't let others in.
And we don't let others give us an outside opinion or a fresh perspective. And so we just keep going with the way that we've been doing things. We just keep going and we just make it all about us. Me-centered ministry. What can I get out of it? What's in it for me? How can I show off my skill? What's in the service for me? What can I get out of the service today? And often, when we get funneled into this tunnel like this, we don't even see the consequences of our actions. We don't even notice it. Because when we get stuck in a particular way of doing things, I've noticed it in my own life, you're just stuck in the rut. We don't see the damage it's causing. But Jethro sees what's going on. Jethro sees it. Check it out. Verse 17. He turns to Moses. He says, "Look, man, this is not good. What you are doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. But not just that. You're going to wear all the people out with you as well. You're going to burn everybody out, man. This is too heavy of a job for you to bear alone. Don't you see the damage that you're doing here? Don't you see the issue? But by centering all the ministry just around you, you're going to burn everybody else out and yourself with them. And people in crisis are going to get missed. People in pain won't find their healing. And people far from God won't ever find His hope for their lives. Moses, you don't see it, but the way you're doing ministry is putting a lid on the growth and the health that God wants to give this people. And the same is true for us, church. Because our mission to reach the lost, even within a 2-minute drive of this church, to touch those people, is way too heavy a burden for any one of us to bear alone. And if we want to be a church that touches and transforms this community with the presence and power of Jesus, if we want to be a church that sees marriages restored, if we want to be a church that sees families strengthened, relationships healed, then we will need to be a church of leaders who know their call to make a difference in this town. What if, instead of just a handful of people, there were hundreds in this church and in this community who knew their call from God to be a difference maker in this town? What if one of those people was you? You see, Jethro says to Moses, here's the plan in two parts. Here's what you need to do. You need to make a change, buddy. Because if you keep doing the way that you've been doing things here, you're going to burn yourself out and everybody else all with you. And then you're going to be no good to anybody. And you certainly won't be helpful to people far from God. So here's what you need to do. There's the plan in two parts. Verse 19. You should continue. Interesting. I thought you said I need to make a change. No. You got to continue doing some things. You should continue to be the people's representative before God and continue to bring their disputes before Him. Because there's some things that only the pastors can do. And it's those things that are your primary responsibility. You see, you got to pray for the people, man. You got to love the people. You got to be their representative to stand in the gap between God and man. That's your responsibility. Continue to do that. But also, verse 20, teach them God's decrees. And give them His instructions. And show them how to conduct their lives so that they can do it themselves. Essentially, Moses, do not keep the ministry centered all around yourself, but empower other people to love God and love others and to make disciples too. Because here's the truth that you and I need to understand this morning. God has chosen normal people, people like you, to be difference makers in this town. And God wants to do something in and through this church to touch and transform this community with the power and the presence of Jesus. And He's going to use everyday, average, normal people to do it. People who understand their call to be a difference maker in this life. And there are so many people here who are way better than me at doing things to show that your love for God and other people. I mean, even just this week, I was talking to Terry. And he's talking about the way he's been reaching out to people and touching lives. I'm just blown away, man, by your service and your genuine care for people, visiting people at the hospitals. I was thinking about Sherry and Renee. I ran into them this week at the Busker Fest. And they've got foster kids in and out of their home every single week. They just have a genuine love for kids who are hurting and coming from broken homes. I could never do that. But they do it with such an amazing, unspeakable love. I talk about Lewis, man. You visit lonely seniors in their seniors' homes every single week. And you're faithful and you're dedicated to be there and support them, to pray for them and lift them up. There's no way I could do it as much as you could do it. But you blow my heart away, man. I think about Jocelyn, who's right downstairs now, serving in our kids' ministry. She gave up a week of her vacation to serve out at camp this year to make sure that those kids could understand and know the voice of God to speak up into their lives. I think about Dave Decker, who fixes people's cars at cut-rate prices to meet a practical need to help them where I could never do that. Man, I think about Tim and Lisa, you guys running a business that supported families and helped people's livelihoods to carry them through different seasons of life. There's no way I could ever do that. You've helped support so many people through their livelihoods and things. I think of the teachers and the parents, the managers, the customer service reps, the parents in this place that God has called and equipped this church to be a church of difference makers, exactly where God's put you. You don't need to be on a stage to make a difference in this town. You have called to do it exactly where you are. And you're going to do a far better job than me at making a difference for Jesus in the place where God has called you to be. Yeah, but what about parenting, man? You know, like, can I really make a difference there? I'm just a mom. I'm just a dad. Yeah, you bet you can make a difference there. You bet you can. And you can bring the hope and the light of Jesus to the place where God has placed you in the everyday things that you do. From doing the laundry, to making sandwiches, to punching numbers. God has called you to make a difference. Or we can funnel all the work around Pastor Janetta and myself. And you can enable us to do this. Absolutely, you can enable me. You can enable me all day long. But if you do that, you need to understand two detrimental things that will happen in the life of this church as we seek to love God, love others, and make disciples. Two detrimental things will happen. Number one, it'll wear me out. You'll have a burned out pastor in less than 5 years. And number two, it'll wear you out, because we get sick and tired of the fact that this church isn't moving forwards and we're not seeing growth and change. That's the reality of it. But the prescription is simple. Jethro comes to Moses and says, listen, man, here's what you need to do. You gotta make a change. There are some things that only you can do, and you need to continue doing those things. But then you also need to do this. Help the people see that God has called them to be a difference maker exactly where He's placed them. But then also, verse 21, also select from all the people some capable, honest men. Get some people who fear God, some people who hate bribes, and appoint them as, this is a scary word, can we repeat this word together all at once? Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, groups of 100, groups of 50, and groups of 10. Verse 22, have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide for themselves. And that will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. Now, we don't have leaders over thousands and hundreds in Truro. We're a smaller community. I get that. But what about fives? What about tens? What about twenties? Because this principle still applies. What if God wanted to use you to be a difference maker in this town by making you a leader over five this year? What if God wanted you to be a difference maker in this town by making you a leader over 10 this year? What about over 20? Now, already I hear some of you saying, whoa, a leader, that's scary. There's no way I could ever do that. Maybe somebody else, but not me, because I'm not the leadership material. I'm not the leadership type. And if that's you, allow me to just debunk this myth of leadership hype for you just for a second, real quick. There's a famous quote from the leadership guru, John Maxwell. Let's throw that up on the screen there. And it simply is this. Leadership is influence, nothing more or less. Leadership is influence, nothing more or less. And you would be very hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't have some level of influence anywhere in their life, even if it's just over one other person. You know, what influence do you have in your life? You might have influence over family,
over friendships. You got influence in your neighborhood, influence with your coworkers, influence on your sports teams. Man, maybe you got influence, you know, in your community. Maybe you got influence in your business. It's a little bit more formal. You're a manager in some sense. Maybe your influence in your school, you know. Maybe you got some influence in your workplace or even in your home. You know, all of us on some level have influence, whether formal or informal. Formal leadership is something like a CEO of a company. Informal is like grandpa in your home. You know, everybody's got influence, which means that on some level, all of us are leaders, whether we know it or not. You might just be a leader of one, but God has placed you there with a purpose to make a difference right where you are. Because notice, in verse 21, Moses doesn't make the people leaders. You notice this? He doesn't make them leaders. He doesn't tell them how they need to start behaving or acting. He just sees their character. He sees their lifestyles. He sees their integrity and what they're already doing well. They're already walking with honesty. They're already walking with integrity. They're already walking with a fear of the Lord and honest worship and a genuine lifestyle of discipleship. And he says to them, just keep on doing that. But allow me to just formally recognize your influence so that you can keep on doing what you are already doing. But just keep doing it with a larger purpose and impact beyond yourself. Because you see, these people were already leaders. They already had influence. They just needed somebody to call them out and give them permission to be difference makers right where they are. And the same is true with you and me. This is already a church of leaders who have been called to make a difference in this town for God forever. And God has already given you influence in your life over people far from God, so that you might make the difference in somebody's life this year. I mean, your prayer in a dark moment might make the difference between life and death for your one. You know, your invitation to come to church next week might be the difference between finding purpose and living a life without meaning for that person far from God in your life. You know, your love for your friends and family might be the difference for them finding the hope of Jesus Christ or wandering through the dark for the rest of their life. And you can be a difference maker over your 5, over your 10, over your 20, right where God has placed you. But it takes everyday average people choosing to take a step up, choosing to say yes to Jesus' call, to say, yes, Lord, I will be a difference maker this year, right where you have placed me. You see, this church is not going to grow unless we are all inviting people to come and see what God is doing. People won't feel welcomed here unless we are all seeking to go out of our way to run towards those people that are new that we don't recognize yet and say, you're loved, you're accepted, you're a part of this family. You're one person close to you, but far from God. They won't meet Jesus if we don't pray for them together as a congregation and share our lives with them. But if you would share the load with me, and you would recognize your call to be a difference maker right where you are, we might see this town touched and transformed by the power and presence of Jesus. I invite the worship team to come back up here today. Would you stand with me as we conclude here this morning? So here's my question for you today as we conclude this morning. How are you living a life that makes a difference where you are? How are you living a life that makes a difference where you are? Because you see, Jethro came to Moses with some pretty solid advice. And he said, don't bear the load alone, man, but share it with those around you. And then in verse 23, we get to see the results. In verse 23, he comes to him and says, listen, man, if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure. And all of this people with you, man, they're going to go to their place in peace. listen, if you do this, man, God's going to lead you. You're going to find you're going to be receiving God's direction and his guidance more for your life because you were never meant to share this alone. And if you find you're sharing this with others and you're taking up your responsibility, man, you're going to find you're going to have a life of purpose as he's leading and guiding you out. But secondly, you're going to find you're going to be able to endure. You're going to find that you have the ability to persevere for longer as we bear the load together. You'll see this church begin to grow. You'll see this church begin to make a difference. You'll see your life begin to make a difference as you begin to see something happen beyond the short term in your community. And then last year, we're going to see this people be led into the future with peace. I believe God's got a good future for this church. I believe God's got a good future for your life. I believe God's got a good future for the people in your life far from him. And we're going to get to see these people far from God be led into a future of peace in Jesus Christ. That's what can happen when we are leaders of 5, 10, and 20. So what does this mean for you? Man, some of you today, you're already leaders of 5. With just your family and friends alone, you can count 5 people, no problem, that you have in your life and you've got influence over. Man, be a difference maker there. You start with those 5. You be diligent. You love them. You care for them. You do everything in your power to make them feel accepted and loved by God. Some of you in this place, you're already leaders of 10. That's no problem for you. You can count 10 on one hand, no problem. Because it's between your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, it's easy to list 10 people that you can influence and that you can love. You go ahead, you be a difference maker there. Some of you here today, God has seen it fit to give you leadership over 20, over 50. Maybe some of you here today actually are leaders over 100. And God has given you the position of managers, of teachers, of business leaders, of entrepreneurs, people with influence over many other people. And God has seen it fit to give you leadership over them, people far from God. You go ahead, you be a difference maker there. You do something to live a life of purpose to make a difference in this town. So what does it look like for you to begin to pray for you to begin to love, for you to begin to serve and to lead those 5, those 10, and those 20? What has God given you influence over? Because he has given you influence over something. And I just want us to begin to think. The worship team's just going to lead us here in a moment, and we're just going to worship and we're going to respond. But I want to ask you to think, what is one practical thing that you can do this week to make a difference where God has placed you? Because he's placed you there on purpose. You're not here by accident. I believe that with all my heart. You're not an accident. And somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're not here on accident. God brought you here on purpose. And he's called you to be a difference maker. It might be bringing a cup of coffee for a coworker. It might be as simple as going out of your way to clean the house for your spouse. You know, it might be inviting a friend to join us at church in these next 2 weeks to hear Kevin Bushy and to hear about Kickoff Sunday. Whatever that is for you, let's just begin to ask the Lord to give us something that each of us can do this week, one practical thing, as we worship and as we pray this morning. Because when you and I understand that God has called each of us to be difference makers where we are, we will begin to see this town transformed by the power and presence of Jesus through our lives every day.